Since the beginning of this month, we have been talking about consecration. And our text has been taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 19. We're going to read the same text this morning. And the topic that we're going to be examining is consecration for manifestation. Hallelujah. Consecration for manifestation. And so we'll read Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God." Manifestation of the sons of God. And you recall that the theme for this year is actually manifestation of the sons of God. But we know that manifestation is not just automatic. Manifestation cannot ever be by accident. Manifestation is purposeful. Manifestation is intentional. It is never by accident. And it is not automatic. And it therefore means that for there to be manifestation, something must precede. Something must go first. Something must happen. Something must trigger manifestation. Bible says the whole world is waiting earnestly, eagerly, desperately, anxiously for the manifestation of the sons of God. And they don't care how that will happen. They are just waiting. They are just in expectation. They are so much expecting the sons of God to show forth, to come forth, to manifest, to be discovered, to be seen, to create impact. But they wouldn't know that it's not just automatic. That is not just automatic for anyone to manifest anything. But it has to be purposeful. And there are several conditions that must be met for those that are called the sons of God to manifest. It's not just enough for one to be called the son of God and just say, "Oh, I'm son of God and I want to manifest." It's not a piece of cake. Even for those that qualify to be called the sons of God must fulfill a condition. And not just a condition, conditions. In order for them to manifest. And one of these conditions is what we are examining in this month, which is called consecration. It's a very vital condition that has to be fulfilled, that has to be met, in order for such person that is called a son of God to show forth. Consecration is actually the bridge. It's a bridge between a child and a son. It's a bridge that takes one from childhood to sonship. Hallelujah. Is the bridge between potential and expression. Is the bridge even between calling and commissioning. It's one thing for you to have potential. It's another thing for those potential to have expression. And that is where consecration comes in. Hallelujah. It is also setting apart, setting ones apart for the master's use. Occupying a position where God can say, oh, this is mine. Where God can say, indeed, this is mine. Consecration is also living a purposeful life. Living a purposeful life. It's not just about doing away with sin, but it's about what you do with your life. Consecration is not about what you leave behind, but it's about what you live for. It's not just about what you leave behind, but about what you live for. Do we get that? It's not about just avoiding sin alone, but about embracing a purposeful life. About embracing a purposeful life. It's when you carry God's ownership on you, where you have God's emblem, his seal upon you, and is able to say, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, when we talk about the creation waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, hallelujah. And so the question is, what kind of person is the creation waiting for? We say, oh, the creation is waiting. Who are they waiting for? Romans 8:19 is still on the screen. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for. They are not waiting for the prophets. They are not waiting for pastors. They are not waiting for teachers of the word, evangelists, or the great apostles, or the ushers, the sanctuary keepers, the choristers, They are not waiting even for the prayer champions. Because why? It does not take you to be a pastor to qualify to be a son. Being a son is not a factor of you being a prophet or a chorister. So the word is not waiting for the gifted ones. They are not waiting for the gifted ones. Because those people can derail. Oh, ask Samson, a very powerful man. Oh, maybe you want to ask King Saul, the very first king of Israel, that the Israelites were waiting and praying for a king, and they got him. Ask him what happened. Oh, you want to ask King Uzziah? Or you want to ask the great priest Eli? So the word of our time, the creation of our time, is not waiting for prophets. They are not. They are not waiting for prophets. Because prophets will continue to be prophets, whereas they have derailed already. The Bible says the gift of God are without repentance. Pastors will continue to be pastors, whereas they have lost it. Samson said, oh, I will arise like the other times. But the Bible says he did not know that the Lord had departed. Hey, church, hear me. It is in the institution of God's kingdom that God will sack someone and still leave that person to keep working. It is in God's kingdom that someone will backslide, will derail, will abandon faith, and will still keep serving his gifts. And you will still keep seeing fire coming down. It is only in the kingdom. So the world is not waiting for apostles. They're not. King Saul, after God had rejected him, he continued working. He continued serving as king for more than 10 years. The same with King Uzziah. In fact, King Uzziah was king till his death. Except that his son was the one ruling. Except that it was the son that was ruling, but he was still alive as a king. And so if they were asking for the king, they would refer to King Uzziah. Yet, God had already rejected him. Eli was rejected long time. Yet, he continued to serve as a priest. Everyone was still coming to him. Yet, the Bible says God had rejected him. In fact, as a proof of that, when his son Phinehas, the wife of Phinehas, had a child, she named the child, the glory had departed, Ichabod. Because she knew that God had departed from this home. They are just there, marking time. So you would think that because you are still able to prophesy, because you are still able to speak in tongues, because you are still able to lay hands on the sick and they recover, you will think that you are still in the faith. Oh, I will arise like the other times, shake myself and destroy those Philistines. He didn't know. He didn't know. So the world is not waiting for the gifted ones. Those gifts will be there. They are without repentance. They will be there. Have you not heard of a lot of scandals about some men of God? And yet they are still men of God. Yet they are still raining down fire. So what are you? Are you the one that the world is waiting for? Are you a son indeed that the world is waiting for? We'll go back again to that verse, Romans 8:19. Again, it says the creation, it says for the earnest expectation of the creature waited. They are waiting for who? The sons of God. They are not waiting for children. The Bible is categorical, so specific. There is no mistake in the Bible. It says they are waiting for the sons, not children. Brethren, there is difference between a child and a son. It is consecrated life, consecrated lifestyle that takes you from childhood to sonship. The world is not waiting for one without authority. Let me tell you, a child, no matter what power rests on the child, it still remains a child. There is no child with authority. And that is why the Bible says, unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. A son is given. For as long as you remain a child, you do not carry authority. Your power remains just with you. It does not have expression. It does not have expression. Have you ever seen a child king that gives instruction? People give instruction on his behalf. A child king does not have, he cannot give instruction. It will just be there as a ceremony, as a ceremonial king. Please tell your neighbor, don't be a ceremonial king. Please grow up. Let's see what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. And I would like us to read it together. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Are we there? Can we read it together? One, two, go. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Though he be Lord of all. As long as an heir is a child, he cannot exercise authority until that child becomes a son. It says that that child is not different from being a servant in the house, because he cannot give any instruction. You see a child giving an adult instruction. Where I come from, the adult will look at the child and say, if I, do you want to finish it for me? If I hear pain, I will, hey. And that is an heir to the throne. Is an heir. But yet, as long as that child is still a child, he lacks authority. That is not the person the world is waiting for. The world is waiting for a son. He's waiting for a son. Not for a child. Are you still a child? Or you have grown up? Are you still drinking milk? Or you are cracking bones? Or you are cracking bones? You want to manifest? You must become a son. And to become a son, you must be consecrated. You must live a life of consecration. And to be consecrated, you must set yourself apart. You see, you cannot live like every other person and claim to be a son. No, you cannot. Everybody can be shaving their hair, but Samson cannot shave his hair because he is different. He was different. No! Everybody can be jumping around, visiting the house of Allah and be misbehaving, but Samson cannot. Everybody can be given to strong wine, strong drinks, but Samson cannot. Are you everybody or you are Samson? It takes a Samson to be a son. And the day you cease from living a life of Samson, then you cease from being a son. And you will shake yourself and you will not realize that it's already Ichabod. See, God indeed leaves you to continue to serve even though you have derailed. But guess what? It doesn't leave you to serve forever. It doesn't leave you to serve forever. He didn't leave Samson to continue to serve forever. His eyes were not just plucked out. He lost his life. He didn't live a fulfilled life. It was not his destiny to die with the enemies. What kind of a call is that? Oh, King Uzziah, that was visited with leprosy and was confined into a solitary place. A king treated like a nobody. Oh, you want to talk about Saul that was killed by an ordinary person? God doesn't allow you to continue to serve forever. And that is why you must uphold a life of consecration so that you can continue to shine, to manifest, to show forth, to influence your world. Hallelujah. And the third one, we'll go back again to Romans 8:19. Says that the earnest expectation of the creation awaited the manifestation of the sons of God, not servants. They are not awaiting manifestation of servants. No. They are waiting for sons of God. Because they know that a son carries the DNA of the father. And not a servant. No matter how long a servant lives in a house, let him become a Methuselah in that house, he cannot carry the DNA of the father of the house. His DNA cannot change. He's still a servant. Hallelujah. He is what? He is still a servant. You have to carry the DNA of the Father, of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords, of the Creator of the universe, of the I Am that I Am, the beginning and the end. The one that says a thing and it comes to pass, you must carry his DNA to have an influence on the world. You must have an influence. You must carry the DNA. And the Bible says that whoever is born of God does not commit sin. You have to carry the DNA. That is why the earnest expectation of the creature is about the Son. Not about the servants. No. Not about the servants. Let's see 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. First Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. One of the DNAs of the Father is holiness. Is holiness. And it is only required of a son. Nobody else can exhibit that DNA, that trait. It's not possible. It's not possible. You don't have the DNA, you cannot be like the Father. So if you are not exhibiting this trait, ask yourself, am I indeed a son of God? Or am I a servant? First John chapter 1 verse 5. First John chapter 1 verse 5. First John 1 verse 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. Are you indeed the light? If you are actually the Son of God, do you exhibit that DNA, that trait? In your environment, do you shine as light? Do people run to you for refuge, or they run away from you from contamination? Says it. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Psalm 99 verse 9. Psalm 99 verse 9. It says, for the Lord our God is holy. Isaiah 6 verse 3. Isaiah 6 verse 3. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Numbers 23 verse 19a. Numbers 23 verse 19a. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. Is he indeed your Father? Do you exhibit that trait of truthfulness? Or life is an embodiment of your being. You are part of those that will say, oh, I didn't even realize when I said that lie. It just came out. I didn't realize it. Okay, so when you realized it, what did you do? Go back. Go back and say the truth. But it's more difficult to go back to say the truth than to just say the truth one, you know, from the get-go. Just say it. So you don't fall prey, because you may never meet that person again. And yet, it will be on an indelible record. And God will say, is this my child? And the Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. And God will say, so the question is, so who is your father? If the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, and the Bible says that the devil is the father of lies, and you are a liar. Wow, check it. Then whose son are you? Then who is your father between both of them? Except you are saying the Bible is not correct. There is no lies with God. There is no truthfulness with the devil. And yet you tell lies. You don't say the truth. Then who do you belong to? And you want to manifest. You want to show forth. You want lines to fall in pleasant places for you. How? How? And someone will say, oh, God is just a partial. God is just so partial. He's not looking at me. Do you look at him? Oh, God doesn't even listen to me. Do you listen to him? See, if you obey God, he will obey you. He will obey your words. He will be attentive to your words. As a matter of fact, before you cry out, he will listen. He will hear it from your heart. So who is fair? Who is not fair here? You don't listen to me, you want me to listen to you. How fair are you? Hallelujah. You want to demonstrate sonship. You must exhibit the traits of the Father. You must show that indeed you carry the Father's DNA. You must show that indeed you are not a servant by living a consecrated life, by living for God, living your life, setting yourself apart. When you set yourself apart, you set yourself for manifestation. You set yourself for manifestation. Wonders follow manifestation. Consecration. Wonders follow consecration. Manifestations follow consecration. They follow consecration. Let's read Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. I want to read this in NIV. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Before the Israelites crossed the Jordan, they had to be consecrated. Joshua 3, verse 5, NIV version. It says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. What does that mean? You don't consecrate yourself when tomorrow comes, the Lord will look away. But it says, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. I was listening to PD, Pastor Dolapo. And he said, three guys, their father called them and said, I think next week or something like that. He was old, he was about to go. And he said, maybe next week, I can't remember precisely again. Maybe next week, I want to release what is inside of me on you. He said, what do you think the guys did? They went and locked themselves in the room and started fasting and praying. Started fasting and praying because they knew what was in their father. they knew how God had been using their father. And so they had to go and lock themselves in. Said, nothing must distract us. Our eyes shall not see evil. Our hands shall not touch evil. We shall not fall to any temptation. They locked themselves up in the room for days, praying and fasting, consecrating themselves, waiting to present themselves holy, acceptable before their father. Before their father. You want God to do wonders in your life. You want to indeed show forth. Then you need to consecrate yourself. You need to consecrate yourself. Exodus 28 verse 41. Exodus 28 verse 41. After you put these clothes on your brother Aaron and his sons, anoint and ordain them. Consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. If you are not consecrated, you are not able to serve. You are not able to show forth. You are not able to manifest. So consecration is very, very important to you getting into the will of God. Pastor has always been saying that prophecies are not self-fulfilling. There is what you must do. This month, this year has been declared as our year of manifestation. But it's not just for everyone. It's for the sons of God. And you must be sons of God to qualify for it. It wasn't just about this year will be the year of manifestation. No, this year will be the year of the manifestation of who? Sons of God. And sons of God are not born. They are made. Sons of God are not born. They are created by their lifestyle. By the way that you live determines you being a son of God. You're only born as a child. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, I'd like to just round up. A word is enough for the wise. Don't let this year be a waste. Don't waste this year by just nonchalant living. Before you know it, December will get here. When did we begin the year? That we are already February 8th, right? When? Like, just yesterday. So don't waste this year by nonchalant kind of life. Live a purposeful life. Let this year make a meaning. Let it make a mark for you. Can you just bow down your heads? Can you declare this with me? My Father, my Father, I come to you today. I denounce every life that is contrary to your will, contrary to your ways. I denounce it this morning. I receive the nature of God. I grow from being a child to a son. I walk in purity. I walk in purpose. This year, I will manifest as a son of God. So help me, God. Heavenly Father, we bless your name. We thank you so very much. We ask, oh God, for your mercy. Lord, I pray that as many that have derailed, as many that have backslided, as many that have abandoned the faith, living a life of their own, Father, have mercy, O God. Lord, we ask that you will take away every stony heart and replace with a heart of flesh in the name of Jesus. As we continue in this year, O God, let us manifest our breakthrough, Lord, let it show forth. Let us be a blessing even to everyone around us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Yeah. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.